what he's doing in, or what he's been.
Oh, my wife left. What he's been doing in us, or what he's revealing to us, and kind of bounce off of that into what I feel like he's doing here. He's just been echoing, and he's saying that it's kind of like today. It just rolled right. But a little bit about us is have you ever felt like Holy Spirit was trying to reveal something to you, and he just keeps urging you and loving on you and saying, check this out, check this out. I mean, he just comes back. I used to think he'd beat you over the head, and you know, I don't think that anymore. He just lovingly comes alongside you and reveals himself and what he's trying to do in the earth, and you just happen to be a part of it. Like I say, I grew up in religion, and when I got, well, supposedly free from it, I ran, man. I threw it away. There was no going back to what I thought religion was. It wasn't fun. I tried to live up to expectations that I could not live, and finally just said, dude, you can have this because I can't do it. But with that, what I found in myself lately, I didn't know it until just lately, just from the words that are coming from the house, starting with see it, and just everybody. I mean, from worship to every word that's been spoken here. It kept bringing me back to the fear of the Lord, which is a phrase that I wouldn't say even for a long time. Just because I don't know. I just didn't. I left the whole legalistic religion, all the things that I thought that showed that I was working to please God. Because I lived in the fear of the Lord. I lived in the fasting and the righteousness and holiness and all those things that were taught to keep me from sin. But then I started reading my Bible. How about that? And Paul says in Colossians that, you know, all those things show a form of religion. And they do. All those things. They're not bad. Marty, don't throw them away like I did. But they show a form of false humility. That's what Paul says in Colossians about religion. About, you know, their clean hands and washing the pots and all the things that the Israelites did. They show a form of religion, but they have no effect on stopping the indulgence of the flesh. None. But all my, and I don't know that they taught that from the pulpit. That's just what I received as a kid of don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, and then you'll be okay. So that's what I lived, and I tried to. But then Paul says, that really has nothing, I mean, it's all good and noble maybe, but it has no effect on you living without sin. None. So from Sid, even Sid's word and Lori of going into the year of teaching me how to live, I think for a long time in the midst of this fear of the Lord and religious and righteousness and holiness and all the things that I learned that I could not live up to, what God was doing in me and in Krista, I just kind of looked over. I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I mean, God's really doing some cool things, and we get to be a part of it, and I'm honored and all those things. But really, the journey that I felt like and still feel like that he's carried me into, I just disregarded I mean, when Father would come speak and Holy Spirit would reveal things, I did look on it as coming. He does it. That's what he does. I didn't honor it in a way that I should. And that's what this journey of the last 2 or 3 months has been for me. That I didn't honor when I would have dreams or when I would have things going on in my life that it is so God that I would look on it like, yeah, I've been having dreams for a while. I mean, and again, I was, Krista and I were able to get out of town a few weeks ago, and we pull up to this house that we were staying in, and the name of this house is Full Circle. And it's like God's just bringing us right back to the, I mean, you know, in Revelations, to the church that lost its first love thing. It's funny how he says you lost your first love, and then how do you restore that is go back to do the things that you first did. So it's like all those things that I discounted that got us to this place, I feel like kind of got us to this place, I discounted so much so, and he's bringing me right back to those same things. And I feel like that's what he's doing in the house. It's teach us how to live. This is see it. Teach us how to live the beginning of the year. Teach us how to live. And it's bigger than, and not that I speak for this house. I don't think there, I'm not a voice to this house, but just go with me on this journey. And maybe it'll apply to you. Teach us how to live. See it hammered maybe a couple of months ago about the whole common and uncommon and treating it holy and treating it him carelessly. It spoke to me. It spoke to me. Nick, a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember the right order, but anyway, discipline. One of the things that, boy, I threw that out a long time ago, the discipline. But what I'm finding, and if you have parents here or will have parents one day, there's a couple of things that kids need. One is discipline and one is encouragement. To grow up to be mature humans contributing to the earth, you need some discipline. And you need encouragement. Brett's mentioned, and I don't remember the exact scripture, but this king, I mean, it was. I don't remember, was that last week? My kind of weeks run together. Basically, what I got out of it is like, the enemy, the devil, will carry you down a journey that you never intended that you would be on. You never thought in a million years you'd wind up there. And that's kind of me. It's kind of me. God has done so much. Till how in the world could I treat him as, oh yeah, man, let's go. Thank you, Father. Still show respect. I mean, and you don't have to go to Numbers 32, but there's a story in Numbers 32. It's when the children of Israel, right, they're going across the Jordan. And I think I've even heard it come out of this house. I don't remember who spoke about it maybe. But there were two tribes and a half that stayed on the east of the Jordan. They didn't go over and take the land that they had been promised however many years prior to that. And it goes on to say, and Moses kind of rebuked them, like, I mean, because they asked, because they saw on this side of the Jordan that, you know, they had livestock. So it's like, man, this land over here, it's pretty sweet, man. It's good for livestock. Can we just stay here and have this land for our livestock? Moses kind of rebuked them. So if you have a chance, go read Numbers 32. Kind of rebuked them, but, you know, they told them, I mean, because their whole, Moses' whole thing was, dude, we got to go across him. We got to fight. We need you to go basically go help us fight. I mean, you're leaving us. I mean, you're having the same report that they did years ago when they sent the 12 spies out. Two of them had a good report. 10 didn't. So you're doing basically the same thing. Here we are about to go possess the land, and you're backing out. And they said, no, we'll go fight with you. We're going to go fight, but we're going to build us some pens over here, and we're going to have our sheep, and we're going to have all the things. We've got it going on over here. This land's nice, right? So long story, that's fine. So they went in, they helped fight, but them and the family and the cows and the sheep and all their livestock stayed on the other side. They really didn't sin against God. It's what Moses goes on to say. But yet there was compromise. because it looks good where we're at. And this has been my life. Because it's good. God's blown our doors off with life. He has. With ministry, the whole nines. I mean, there's, anyway, stories, crazy, stupid stories that are really good. But yet I find myself, thanks to this house, not living fully in the promise that I was created for. Of my own choosing. Because it's really nice and comfortable on this side of the Jordan where the grass is green and, you know, everything's good. Life is good, man. Why would we go? I mean, why? It's good right here. Comfortable, safe life is never what God called us to be. Nowhere in Scripture will we find it. But yet, that's where I find myself. Krista and I used to have this saying, invading the darkness. That's what we were designed to do. But yet, in the living life and being comfortable, it's like we don't have to invade the darkness. We're good right where we are. But there's still so much darkness out there to invade. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around to see that we need some light in the world. I believe he's calling us into that. And I believe it's up to us. If we stay on the east side of the Jordan or we cross over and we dig in and we do invade the darkness. And it's not going to be comfortable. But he didn't call us to comfort. It's up to us. We said in here a couple of months ago, the service that was happening, that we'd be marked, that it would be a marking point, that it would be on forward. It's up to you. It's up to me if that really is a marking place. If we can look back 10 years from now to say, that marked me. I remember that. And we all have those days. We all have those moments and times to where God was definitely there, and we were marked, and it changed our trajectory. I mean, it changed our lives. All these stories in the Bible, it required faith. Right? I mean, salvation, it required faith. With the heart, man believes, but confession is made into salvation. We've got to believe. We've got to believe. It's not just going to poof the magic dragon and it happens. Be nice if it would, but he's called us into more, not to settle. God has got really cool things in store for us, for you, for me. It's what you will do with it. And it's not, I mean, it's kind of like a drab, you know, I wished I was that, because I really want today to, honestly, my intent was, I want you to be encouraged, but I want you to be challenged. And I wished I was that, you know, I was hoping Rhett would be in here because, well, Lisa's here. Praise the Lord. We got some Roll Tide, roll. We got some of those people with us. Amen. So 99% of the room I'm going to make mad just here in a minute. I promise you. Probably. Just joking. I'm sorry for... Hey, did Auburn win last night, by the way? Oh, they got beat. Oh, man, sorry. That was not a dig, by the way, because I went to bed. I didn't know. But turn to, we're actually going to read some scripture. Y'all go read Numbers 32 for real, though. But go to 2 Corinthians so we can do that. Thank you. 2 Corinthians. No, I'm sorry. I said 2 Corinthians. Romans 5. I'm sorry. And she's like, Marty, now I've been chasing you for a long time. But I'm sorry. Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. And we're going to talk about one of the things that I think that will For me, personally, it's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord and righteousness, holiness. We're going to talk about righteousness, because I think, for me personally, one of the things that God's bringing me around to and reminding me is that I'm right before Him. Even though He is that God of all majesty that blows my mind, I can't approach Him. The only way I can approach Him is by the blood of the cross. It gives me access. It's the Jesus' flesh was torn, was the veil that was torn so we can enter in. He's still just as holy as He was back in the day, so that hasn't changed. But for me to understand that I'm right before God changes everything. If I don't feel I'm right, I will not approach Him. You won't. So knowing that you are righteous, that you are in right standing with the Heavenly Father, allows you and gets, well, for me, that gives me access and gives me a permission to enter in. So righteousness. So Romans 5, not 2 Corinthians 5, sorry, but Romans 5, starting in verse 17. For by one man's offense, that's Adam, right? Adam's offense, Adam and Eve, that's what we're talking about. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through the one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Now you're justified, just as if you had never sinned. The one righteous act is Jesus coming to the earth, dying the death that we all, right? Everybody with me? So that's the one act, one righteous act was Jesus' act of coming to the earth to redeem mankind to the Father. That's what is the goal of the gospel? The goal of the gospel includes you going to heaven one day, but the goal of the gospel is to get you back in right relationship with God. You were redeemed back to Him. It's not a destination gospel. It is you are redeemed to the God that created us. That's the goal of the gospel. Now our goal is to grow up and to be the exact image that we were created in, which Jesus displayed. Amen. That's the goal of the gospel. So, with all that, justification of life. Now you have from that free gift, which is, so in verse 17 it says, how do you receive, or how do you, well, I just said it, you receive righteousness, right? So it's the same way with salvation. You've got to believe, if with the heart man believes and confession is made unto salvation, right? You receive that. So how do you receive righteousness? It's not a earning, or it's not a works, or you've got to do enough to be righteous before God. This scripture says you have to do what? Receive it. It's a gift. Righteousness is a gift. I've gifted you with righteousness. You have to receive it. So you've got to believe you're righteous before you act like you're righteous. Amen? Same way with holiness. He's called you holy. You're above reproach, what Scripture says. But you've got to receive that before you walk it out. You've got to believe you are. You're justified, just as if you had never sinned. But if you continue to live, oh man, I'm just a scum of the earth is what I used to call myself. I'm just a scum of the earth. If we live with that attitude, we'll never walk in the fullness of what He's designed and created us to be. Never. You'll never live in the fullness of what He's designed for you to be if we continue with, I shouldn't be here. He is all that in a bag of nuts, or a bag of chips to those of you that say that. But for me, it's a bag of nuts. God is all that in a bag of nuts and so much more. But yet at the same time, He's invited you in and given you access. We've got to know that we belong. I had this conversation with Aaliyah the other day. We were just talking, and it was like, what if we actually started believing all the things that this book says about us? What if? Because I promise you, when we talk about you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You'll give me a list of 10 things of why you're not. And I will do the same thing. Because I know me, and I can give you a list of why it shouldn't be. But the one act, righteous act of Jesus, of what he did, says that you are. So we have to believe. One of the two. And I personally believe what he's doing, what Holy Spirit is doing here, is getting us to a place to where we actually believe what Scripture says, and we actually start walking in the fullness of who he is. That we actually, and I'm talking, this is me. So I'm inviting you in on my journey of what I feel like the Lord's doing through a Brett, a Nick, a Sid, a Lori. Lori said this one thing, the other day about them stinking frogs. And it's like, why in the world did they do that? Right? Y'all remember the story? Pharaoh says, well, Moses said, we'll get rid of the frogs. We'll get rid of them. Yeah, well, let's do it tomorrow. That's what Pharaoh said, right? Pharaoh says, we really don't like the frogs. Let's do that tomorrow. And I thought, well, what person would do that? And the Lord told me this week, you, Marty. Me. And it's like, Marty, when are you going to realize? Quit waiting. What are you waiting on? Am I not worthy? It's what he's telling me. Am I not worthy of your life? And I can sit up here and I can say it. It's not my life I live. It's him living his life through me. And I mean it. But sometimes my actions don't display it. Well, when is it going to be time? Why not? Y'all that grew up alone what time ago like me, is why not tonight? Some of y'all grew up here, and I'm speaking to the people that have no idea that song. We used to sing a song at the end of service, why not tonight come give your life to Jesus? Why not? And I can't sing, but why not tonight? Nobody in here knows that song. There you go. Yes. I knew there'd be somebody. But I can't believe that. God. But anyway, that song kept coming back to my mind this week. It's like, when are you? We can come in and we can do all the things, right? You've got some great worship. You've got a building. But what? And again, it's not a heavy something. It's not. I want you to be encouraged. But for me, it's like, what are you doing with it? Why not tonight? Why not today? Why can I not start living in all that I know that he's promised us? I know he has. It's here. But yet I so think, yeah, but I'm not qualified. You're not. I'm not. But he is. And he says we are. So we either decide to believe that or we just continue to do life like we've been doing life. Doing church. I've done church. But I've also been in the other side of where I've been jumping in some rivers that was not him. So to safeguard my life, I just discounted it. That's not for today, man. I ain't going there. But he is so showing me in the last 2 months, Marty, I'm not finished. We've only just started. And I'm talking about this, what he's saying to me. I've just started. But, and I'd love to be that Kirby Smart that would just, or Dabo Swinney that could, stand up here and talk and you just feel like you could run through a brick wall right after you leave here. But, I support the number one team in all of the land, and that's Alabama. Go Dogs. I'm with you. For me, this Nick Saban, which is one of the greatest coaches, and think of him what you will. But I think his players play with a level of fear of just him. I don't know how much of an encourager he is. And maybe I'm completely wrong. I don't know the guy. But just my thought process. And then you can have these other guys like Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, that those guys would just bust through a brick wall for. But then you got the University of Alabama that's playing maybe out of fear. And for the last 2 years, discipline has been one of the things that stand out most to me about the University of Alabama's football team, because they lack it. They have more penalties than ever, most in Saban's history at the University of Alabama. It's the reason that they're playing. What's the reason we're here? Is it out of the fear of the Lord? In reverence, which is, for me, boy, I'm coming right back down to and submitting to it with all I am. But if the only thing that is driving me here is the fear of the Lord, then I'll never live up to what He's called me to do. Never. It's His love that compels us to live the life that we live. He has to be that one that we come in. Well, I shouldn't say He has to be. His desire is to be that one that you come in here and you lay your life down to love and to serve and to do. It's His love. You know, Mary, when she come in and she cried and wiped Jesus' feet with her tears and with her hair, He meant something to her. He meant something to her. I want Jesus to mean something to me. I just don't want to talk about it. I've talked long enough. Our goal. This is the gospel. It's for us to display all that He is. To grow up. Ephesians. We won't even go. Oh, man, we're going to get into practice. I won't even go there. Because what time is it? And I'm really. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, we're in good shape. Because here's one thing about Nick Saban, too. And I do want to hit. 1 John. Y'all can go there. 1 John 3. It talks about this righteousness, right? So we're going to stay with this righteous theme, righteousness. We're righteous because we receive it, not because you earn it. You don't have to do anything for it. It's a gift. It's a gift. One thing that you need to know when we leave here today is when you get schooled or somebody asks you what went on today, other than, you know, during worship time and Holy Spirit doing what He does, is I am righteous because of the one act or the one thing that Jesus did, which is to leave all of glory, come to earth, and die for me. He redeemed me back to the Father. So now I am put in right standing with Father God because of that. And all I have to do is receive His righteousness, right? So I receive that I'm in standing with right, I am standing rightly before God, period. That's how He sees me, all right? So you go on to 1 John, and 1 John says this thing. He says, those of us that practice righteousness. Practice. Saban has this one quote, and I know that you can't look at me, but, man, I was really good in football when in high school. Of course, we went to Ramburn, which there's not a lot of competition, but I was really good. Not really. That's a joke. But I did play football, and we had a great coach at Ramburn, and he would always say, we're going to practice this until we get it right, which is, you know, it's noble. And we did, because there was always somebody messing up something, most of the time probably me. But it was, we're going to practice it until we get it right. Saban has this phrase, he says, we're going to practice until you don't do it wrong. Not until you get it right, but until you don't do it wrong. It's a lot more practice involved. Saban's way. A lot more practice. But 1 John, what? I think it's 1 John 2:29. It talks about practice righteousness. You practice it. Depends on what translation some say do. If you're in New King James, him that does righteous is righteous. 1 John 2, 1 John 3 talks about practicing righteousness three times. Practice righteousness. And we won't read it but go read it. And she's got it up. See, look at that. Y'all read it. And then you should scroll to the other two or three if you'd like to. So practice righteousness. So for me growing up, here I am. I'm in a courtroom with God as the judge, Jesus as my lawyer, but I'm in a courtroom and I've got to earn, and he's hammering me because I'm so guilty. Practicing righteousness is moving out of that courtroom, moving yourself into the living room, which we are all in at this moment. And the fear of the Lord is what keeps me there. I can choose to get out of the living room and go right back to the courtroom and put myself under it like I'm not good enough to be here. I've done too much, I've said too much, or I've done too little or said too little. I can never please him. I'm going to put myself right back in the courtroom. But you're not in the courtroom. You're in the living room. The living room says, Heidi Baker, a phrase in her book, they used to invite Heidi Baker, missionary in Mozambique, has I don't know how many kids, but they would have some of their kids come and spend the night with her and her husband. And they would ask, can we go to the refrigerator and get a Coke, or we can do all these things? And her response would be, yes, you belong here. You don't have to ask to go get a Coke. Just go get a Coke. That's the living room of righteousness. You're righteous. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to ask for permission. You're there. All you have to do is receive it. The fear of the Lord will keep you there, because I'm going to do all I can not to displease him. Not because I'm afraid of him, just because I want to honor him with my life. It's the same way with Krista. I mean, it's not that I fear her, but I honor her, and I want to continue to honor her. Maybe I should fear her. I mean, because she's raised rough. I mean, she's raised in Rammer too. She'd get after you. But it's that thing of I want to honor him. It is that thing of fear of the Lord, of reverence, of recognizing who he is. I want to honor him. That's what's going to keep us out from the indulgence of the flesh. It's our honor to him. Amen? Amen. It's not about trying to do or forget that. I've been trying to do that too long. It's not any fun. It's miserable. There's an invitation for us, I believe, with all my heart. And a lot of you have seen God move in so many ways that I haven't seen, and seen him move here. And you can sit here today and say this, yeah, we've done that, been there, done that, and you can choose to sit on the sidelines. You can. I have no idea what God's done here. But I know this, he's not finished. He's not finished. And we get to decide if he is. So we decide if we jump in or we can stay back. We can stay on the other side. It's comfy over there. Man, the grass is green. It's good for sheep. We can hang out. And here's my thing. I'll go with you to help fight. But once you fight and you've experienced God, then I'm going to come back over here on the other side where it's safe. And I don't have to sit up here and say, well, you know, I don't know exactly what to do right now. I've never been a part of this leading. I mean, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here? Right? I've always been out there with, man, God really moved today, didn't he? Amen. Boy, that was good. But at some point, we all are going to have to venture into some territories that maybe we haven't been before to experience him in ways that you've not yet experienced him. We want to hang out on the other side and say, man, that was good. But at some point, we've got to get in and go after it and go across and go fight with somebody else, because it's not going to be comfy over there. We want it to be, but it's not. Krista and I, those of you that don't know, probably everybody does, but. And I try not to talk about Honduras, but, and we are going, it's over. Unless Holy Spirit wants to do something else. And I might have shared this. I'm not sure. But we all kind of get comfortable, right? Or maybe I'm just speaking to me. I've been that tribe of Gad and Reuben, I think, and the half a tribe of Manasseh, I think, are the ones that stayed over on the other side. It's easier. Yeah, I'll go help you fight. Man, I'll help you. But when it comes to wading off into what I call the deeper things that God wants to reveal to me, I think I'll just hang out. I like knowing things. I like the comfortable. I like safe. It wasn't comfortable and safe for our king to leave all the glory and come and live the life that he lived. He's our example, so that's the life I'm supposed to live. I can come up and say, man, I'm tired. I'm so tired. And we get tired. But yet, when I see his face, can I see his face and it drive me to my knees of, man, I'm all in. This one more time. It's a continually saying yes. I mean, mine and Krista's for the year word from the Lord, I felt like, was a deeper surrender. But in that surrender, boy, is he magnified. Because I do get tired. It's tiring, Lisa. We get tired. But he's our example. He didn't quit. So if he did it, we can do it, right? Holy Spirit's going to come and empower us just as Holy Spirit empowered him. So everybody stand up. Anybody got anything you want to say? We'll knock this off. But I really do. I wished I was that big cheerleader of encouraging and walking out of here like, yeah, we can do it. But, you know, that's what I want you to feel like, because we can. And the thing about it is, you don't even know what you're running out here to conquer. But it's a continue yes. Yes, Father, whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to do. And today, you know, it's been the brother and sister duo, I guess. We had Madeline pray, Isaac prayed, Noah, now it's your turn.